A little bit more than half of you already know me as Ty Hoffman. That's one of the reasons I like teaching this and biochem. It's a lot of return faces. There are a lot of new people, though, who've never endured me. So I want to talk a little bit about how things are going to happen in this course. You're here for Cell Bio, right? Okay, that's good. It's really good that well over half of you have already been to this website and submitted the rules consent form as required. The rest of you should do that today sometime. Your homework for all of you is to just explore the website completely, which doesn't take very long. It's not extensive, but you should know where everything is, and you should visit this thing every day to check the announcements at the very least. Most of the times there won't be a change in the announcements, but you should, you're required to check the announcements, so do that. By the way, I should ask the people on this side if anyone will bitch if I don't use both. You want both screens up? You do want both? So you're saying yes, you will bitch. Okay. All right. Let me see whether I can do this without turning them off. I usually don't write much anyway, but there's no board space if I use both of them. A little bit in the middle, but you're probably not going to be able to see it anyway because of parallax error. Anyway, we can use both. That's fine. Does everyone on the side see these well enough, by the way? I'm not too sure about this room. Well, anyway, let me quickly go over how things are going to happen. If you haven't been here yet, you're kind of behind things, because nowadays you should always check websites before you even show up. And you'll notice that Blackboard just tells you to go straight here. I'm going to use Blackboard only when I have to, which is to give you scores. I have to use Blackboard to give you scores. So that's one reason you'll go to Blackboard. The other reason is to just use it as a gateway to get to mastering assignments. Other than that, this will be the website. So this is where my recorded lectures will be posted. This is where the slideshows already are, and so on. Let's hit the highlights of the syllabus. Read this whole thing. I'm not going to read it to you. But read it all eventually if you haven't yet. What most people care about in the beginning, though, is how you're going to be graded. The rules consent form, like I said, if you haven't done that yet, and there's about 50 or so of you who haven't done that yet, you won't get any points for anything unless you do that. So do it today. Doesn't take long, but it takes longer than just hitting submit. Don't make that mistake, because almost every term, there might have been a couple in which this didn't happen, but almost every term I have to give at least 1-0 for some reason, for failure to obey the rules that are on that rules consent form. So make sure you actually read them before just hitting submit. Anyway, this will be a straight scale with pluses and minuses, so no curving or anything, but the point distribution is what you probably care about. And there's four categories, but three biggies. Notice that 60% of your score, actually 66% of your score, will be two-thirds, roughly, will be the exams. And I forget how many I'm doing. Am I doing six? Is it five? Yeah, five in here. So five exams. Those will be the hardest things to score well on. Depends on the student, but as a class mean, those are probably going to be the lowest, which is why I don't base it only on lecture exams. For one thing, lecture exams don't tell the whole story, but there are the most important way of assessing you. It's really only by giving you lecture exams can I determine whether you've learned what I've taught you. And so that's your biggest chunk. Obviously, you can't blow off lecture exams. What I'd like to impress upon you is that you can't blow off anything. Obviously, everyone wants to get a good grade, and I'd like to give 150 A's. I never have, but I'd like to. What you need to do, though, is to realize that points are points, no matter whether they're exams or the things that you might not think are as important as exams because they're not worth as much. They all add up, though. Just like the first game of baseball season is just as important as the last game, even though it doesn't seem as exciting. They all add up. So don't let any comparatively easy points pass you by. All right? And the comparatively easy points are everything else. Now I'm giving you, I'm using mastering, as you probably already know, and many of you have already signed up for mastering, which is also good. Don't wait to get all the mastering chaos straightened out until right before the first mastering assignments are due. Almost certainly some of you are going to do that, but I'm trying to get you to not do that strenuously, because Pearson has problems. Sometimes it's seamless. It is for the majority of people it's seamless. But they do have a pretty high error rate, and it can be a hell of a hassle to undo whatever problem is caused by not doing something right, which is usually not the student's fault, I admit. But I have no control over mastering, so I can't help you if something goes wrong. Therefore, also, before things get busy, which means today, try to get that out of the way. Get signed up for mastering. But anyway, these mastering assignments are going to be pools of questions from each of the chapters we're going to treat. And I think we're getting through like 25 chapters of this book. What I mean by pooling is that there's a certain bigger number of questions that I selected that I threw away the ones that I thought would be just a waste of time or a time drain. I tried to make them as close to as possible to the things I'm going to talk about. Not everything I'm going to talk about, I mean, not everything that's on these mastering assignments is going to be something I necessarily talk about. You need to realize that. But these are open book mastering tests. You have access to whatever resources you want to do this to get these answers. And that's why I say they should be comparatively easy, but they're not automatic. It does still take some time to find answers in books if you don't know them just from already having learned that stuff. So plan ahead for the mastering. Don't lose points because you waited till the last minute and it's taken you a hell of a lot longer than you thought it was going to take. That happens often. All right. So you have a question?
Yeah, do we need scan charts for the tests?
Well, technically no, because they're not Scantron brand, but Datalink forms we're going to need, yes.
Maroon?
Yeah, those are the maroonish ones. The ones that are about this wide, 100 question, I think, something like that. Yeah, so you're going to need one of those for each of the five tests. So these assignments combined are about 22% of your grade. Big chunk, so you can't blow those off. Just don't let it happen that you lose points for lateness. If you lose points for not knowing something, that's one thing. If you lose points for lateness, that's really just a waste of your own points. So don't let it happen. Notice, by the way, on this point distribution, this is one of the main things I wanted to describe, that there's with attendance and without attendance columns. I think for the majority of people that attendance is fairly important. It's important to actually be here for the live performance, even though I'm recording all my lectures, and you can recreate the experience at home more or less by looking at the slideshow and listening to my lecture recording. But I think it actually is important being here. So that's why I feel justified in giving you, almost giving you points just for being here on time. It's not just attendance, it's punctual attendance. So you have to be here before I start speaking to get any of those attendance points. But, so I don't think that that's just handing you free points is what I'm saying. On the other hand, it's possibly to be such a type of student and a good student that you could never show up and still do well. So I don't want to make it impossible to pass the course just by because you don't want to come to class. If you can actually get an A without the attendance points, I'm willing to give that to you. So I automatically compute your grade two ways and give you the higher of the two. I compute it with attendance and without attendance. Now, if it's computed without attendance, what that means is the other things are worth even more. And so, you know, you're going to have to make the decision as to whether you want to be here for those comparatively free points or stay at home and listen to the recordings and have heavier weighting on the other assignments. Okay? But in any case, whatever appears on Blackboard, which nothing will until you give me the rules consent, that is already the higher of the two ways. And it might go back and forth. So, you know, if you don't make the decision that you're never going to show up necessarily. If you're here, make sure you sign in. Now, that's the importance of these sign-in sheets. And this will be the only day that they're going to still be out after I start speaking. So if you haven't signed in today yet, make sure you do before you leave, or you won't get those attendance points. But that's why I said punctual attendance. Now, these aren't completely free points. You do have to show up. And the work that you have to do is to show up no later than the very beginning of class. So I'll start right at the beginning. And I'll pick them up before I start speaking. So if you show up right after that, yes, you are here, but you're not here for the sake of points. All right, everyone have that understood? Good deal. Participation is 2%, and by participation, I'm talking about actually answering questions when I fire them to the class, which I usually do while I'm lecturing. Now, is anyone having trouble hearing me, by the way? Well, that's because I'm practically yelling, which I'm used to doing. Students aren't used to lecturing, though, so when they answer questions, it's usually, you know, something like this, and they think that everyone in the class is hearing me. Don't do that. Speak as loudly as I am when you try to answer questions. Participation is not something that, you know, I'm going to keep a log on. But by the end of the term, I get a good feel for how well people participated. And participation doesn't mean you have to answer these questions correctly, but when I try to interact with you, act enthused. And you shouldn't actually have to act enthused because this is a major's course. I mean, you should truly be interested in this stuff. And if you're not, then why do you have this as a major? I mean, that's just, it doesn't make sense to have as a major something you don't really like. Strive for happiness. There are other things that you might like better if you hate biology. So that's what participation is. 2%, not much, but it can make a difference at the end if there's a grade is somewhere on the edge. Let me just say something about textbooks for a second, which I went the wrong way. Oh, I was already on the right page. Many of you have already read on my website that I don't ever strictly require you to buy a textbook, except using Mastering, which I'm requiring you to buy access to. You're going to get access to the electronic version. I want to say a couple things about textbooks. There's, first of all, no such thing as a perfect textbook, obviously. The main reason for that, though, is because there are different kinds of people. So there are textbooks. There's one textbook might be very good for one student, very bad for another, and just the opposite for another textbook. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It just depends on the student. The important thing is to find a textbook that actually helps you, which most students don't do, right? Because you don't go out and spend $200 on several different textbooks just to look at them. But you could do that at a library, or you could do that with cheap used versions that are available from previous editions. All of that is fine. I don't care whether you use a textbook or not. I've had plenty of students do very well without ever opening a textbook, just based on the recordings of my lectures. And that makes sense because my tests are always going to be only about things that I discuss in here. It's not true for mastering, like I said. But the lecture exams, the most important things points-wise, will be made up of nothing but multiple choice questions, and every one of those will be something I've talked about on the recordings. All right, I always make sure that that's true. I don't want to give you blind questions. Now, the mastering questions will, for the most part, be things I've talked about simply because, you know, the publisher writes questions about things that are important. I lecture about things that are important, so there's a overlap there. But there are, you know, I don't have time to cover every aspect of cell biology in here. There are some things that I think were important enough to put in to include in the questions, not throw out from the question pools, but that I might not ever have mentioned. So your e-text, if you don't use that for the sake of the tests, that's fine. But the main use of it really should be to maximize your scores on these mastering assignments. So it's fine to try these questions cold, just, you know, testing yourself basically based on your knowledge already. But if you get stuck at all, or if you're just not 100% sure, then just go to the e-text, do a text search, and it'll take you right to the page where the answer is. All right? So really, it should be reasonable for you to get 100% or close to 100% on every one of these, but only if you put in the time to do that. That takes a while to do, and you can't just fire them off in 20 minutes maybe at the end of the deadline. Give yourself some time. You'll notice on the schedule, by the way, that I've put the mastering assignment due dates after the unit test. And that is on purpose. I want everyone to understand that these mastering assignments should not be used as a way to study for my tests. They should be considered as entirely separate batches of points. All right? By far, the most important thing to study to do well on my exams are your well-written and hopefully rewritten notes taken from listening to the recordings. You can't skip listening to the recordings. The vast majority of people can't skip listening to the recordings and expect to do well. All right. Now, this is another thing that takes some time. It takes at least as long as being here does to listen to the recordings, because they're as long as being here, right? But to usefully use the recordings, you want to pause me here and there so you can write out the notes well. When you can get to the point, when you've made notes that are good enough from those recordings and you've studied them well enough that you can actually explain that material out loud, whether someone's in the room with you or not, out loud, without looking at any notes. In other words, if you can just give your own lecture without notes, then you're ready for my tests. Almost no one is going to be able to do that first try. This is the main reason why I put on one of my pages that the most important way of studying, I think, and the way that probably the fewest people do, is to try to give your own lectures. That's one thing that you understand as soon as you start teaching, is that you don't know something as well as you think you do until you try to teach it to someone else. All right, so You should try that, if only to convince yourself of whether this is true or not. All right? What's going to happen if you try that, almost certainly for the vast majority of you, is that you'll get stuck somewhere, which is a good thing, because that tells you precisely where you need to go back into the notes to brush up on that material. The things that you can breeze through, you're ready for. Don't spend any more time studying that stuff. Okay, so it's an efficiency thing to do well in a course like this. Okay, now, another thing I wanted to say about cell bio is that it largely is Bio 181 again. Now, did you enjoy Bio 181? Okay, that's good, because you should as majors. Bio 181 is probably the most important course. It's the basic course. Basic does not mean easy. Basic means fundamental. It's the basis on which everything else rests. That's why it's the most important material. Any given class that a student takes, that student will retain a certain percentage, which is well below 50% of the material. Whether it's, you know, not just science classes, any sort of class. You forget most of the stuff that you learn. That's just the way humans work. Which means that, really, if you want to learn this stuff well, you should take every class twice. It's hard to convince students to do that, though, because it gets expensive and it takes twice as long. Plus, you would only get credit one time. The nice thing about this course is that, essentially, you're taking 181 again, which is good because you need that material again. When I teach this course, I find that students don't remember the 181 stuff very well. So it's good to get it again, but it's nice that you get credit for it again this time around. So that's really what we're in for, right? When you think about 181, that was just biology at the cell level, right? You stayed in the cell the whole time in Bio 181. Well, that's what we're going to do here. Yeah, that we go into a little more depth in certain topics, but it really should, if you remembered everything from 181, this is going to seem like very much review. And consider yourself lucky if that is what is true. Most people, though, need this stuff again. This is important stuff. What did I not mention that you care about? Anything? I was saying that I put these mastering deadlines after each test because as long as you have time to finish them, it's perfectly reasonable to totally ignore the assignments until after you do the test, because I want you to prepare for the test correctly, which is to study the recordings, not the stuff on mastering. But if you just make sure you give yourself enough, if you totally ignore them until after the test, make sure you give yourself enough time to finish by the deadline, because the deadline will automatically cut off for you. Oh, by the way, I have this set up so that you get two attempts as well. All right, so I'm going to give you the higher of the two scores, assuming you do both attempts. What was I just going to say about that? Well, you do it. Yeah, I think that's explicitly explained, isn't it? I think I remember putting that up recently. Yeah, definitely do the first attempt first, or you won't get full credit. What I wanted to say is that the second attempt is not the first attempt again. So you'll draw from the pool randomly on the second attempt. So everyone's going to get a different set of questions every chapter, but you're also going to get a different set of questions the second time around. All right? Yeah.
So if you want to do the second attempt, do you have to do it before the deadline?
If you want credit for it, yeah. Now, it will tell you your score only for the first attempt. It won't tell you which ones are right or wrong. But it'll give you your score, because if you get 100, why would you bother with the second attempt? So you'll at least know whether or not you should bother with the second attempt. But yeah, if you want to use the second attempt, it has to be completed by that same deadline. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask, how many attempts do we get per question?
Well, there are hints. And so, in a sense, there's kind of multiple attempts there, but you get docked each time you use a hint. And you'll also get additional credit, so it's you can actually get more than 100% on these things if you don't use any hints. Okay, so realize that before you go clicking on the hints, that using the hints will actually cause a little bit of a, I think it's like a 2% reduction for just that question. Yeah. Yeah, they're all open as of when I started speaking. So they just all opened right at the beginning of this class. And that's fine if you want to work ahead, get them out of the way. But just realize that the due dates are in batches corresponding to the units. So all the chapters that are in one unit treated by one test, those will all become due at the same time. That's why waiting to the last minute can bite you in the ass. I don't know, because it's a modified mastering, which means it should be seamless if you go through Blackboard. So don't do it any other way. Go through Blackboard to get the mastering, even if you already have a mastering account. Anything else? Nothing? Yeah, go ahead.
Is the final going to be in this room?
It will, and it is notice earlier, 7:30. So, set yourself a calendar reminder for that right away. By the way, I recommend setting up your calendar with reminders about mastering as well, because this is all I'm going to tell you about mastering. I'm not going to send class-wide emails saying, remember that mastering is due. The due dates are on the syllabus. So if you don't have to print out this syllabus, but if you do print out any of it, print out this page with all the due dates. Keep yourself reminded. Anything else? Yeah.
What quickly will the recording of the lectures be available?
It's not entirely at my whim. It's actually dictated mostly by what I have to do right after the class. But I don't have my schedule memorized yet, but I think I'll be able to do it immediately after each lecture. Pretty sure. It will always be the same day, at the latest that evening. And, oh, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because if it's not, sometimes I just forget to do it. If it looks like it's later than it usually is, you can assume I've forgotten, and one of you email me. No, it's fine if many of you email me, but I'll get to it as soon as I get that first email. I usually don't forget, though. All right? Yeah?
Are any of those assignments timed?
No, they're not timed other than the due date. And you can start and resume. At least that's the way I've set it up. One of the many maddening things about mastering, or any of the other ones for that matter, is that they never really give the instructor the true student experience. So I can set things up, and then students tell me, well, it doesn't work that way, because what you see is different from what I see, actually. But supposedly you can start and stop as many times as you want, as long as you get it done by the deadline. By the way, the answers, now, like I said, you shouldn't be using these to study anyway, but if you're curious about the answers that you got wrong, those aren't going to be available to you until a couple days after the deadline. Because I do allow for lateness on the mastering, strive for zero lateness. But it will automatically dock you 2% per hour. So 50 hours after the deadline, it's 100% reduction. You might as well not bother. And that's when the answers will be shown to everyone. Anyone else? All right, should we start biology then?